This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
It's 5:30 on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We are out here at Jefferson's Restaurant, 15th and Wakarusa. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. We'll be here long after that, but broadcasting for another half hour. 50% of all ticket sales go directly to the cause as long as you tell them you're here for the Rock Chalk Roundball Classic. We are talking to Bud Stallworth. Kenny Gregory's here as well. And Bud was just telling us in the last segment how he came to play basketball for the University of Kansas. He came to Lawrence for band camp, and then he calls a guy by the name of Ted Owens. Ted's joining us now on the program. Do you remember that phone call? Do you remember Bud Stallworth ringing you up?
Well, yeah, it's a long story. He comes to Russell Wiley's Midwest band camp, and his counselor was sitting over here a minute ago, Paul Gray. And so we were having basketball camp at the same time. And so one day JoJo White walks into the office and said, "Coach, you need to get over to Robinson Gym." Said, "There's a guy from Alabama, a 6'5 guy who can really shoot the basketball." So Sam Miranda, our assistant, he and I headed over to Robinson. And of course, legally, you couldn't watch people. So we just happened to walk through Robinson Gymnasium. And here was this 6'5, well-built guy who almost kicked his behind when he shot his jump shot. And he could shoot it. He was nailing them. So I get JoJo to get him to come over to the office. And he comes over, and I said, "We really like the way you shoot it. We want to get you to come visit us in the fall, and we'd really like to have you be interested in the University of Kansas." I said, "Can I call your folks and set that up?" He said, "Don't call my folks." He said, "They told me if I go to band camp not to get in the gymnasium. You go there to study." So when I finally did talk to his folks, I had to pretend like that somebody told me about him and I just heard about him. And, but it turned out well.
Did you give a pretty convincing case to his parents? I mean, clearly you did. They allowed him to come up and play for you for 4 years.
Yeah, you bet. And went down, saw him play in the All-Star game in Tuscaloosa. Yeah, he, and as you know, had a great, great career.
Absolutely. We brought that up. We were talking about the what's kind of changed over the last 40 years. I mean, not just college, not just basketball, but college basketball in general, the way kids are recruited, the way that they're sent out to the next level. Like, do you think, like, how much of what you were doing back in the 70s do you think would translate to today's day and age? Do you think most of it would still work pretty well?
Oh, yeah. No question. Now, the three-point shot has changed the game a lot. I mean, Bud can tell you, I mean, we pounded the ball inside because shooting it outside was worth 2 points, and shooting layups is worth 2 points. And so Bud will tell you our big guys love playing for us.
And yeah, so, until we could bail them out. Yeah.
When Bud hit 50 points against Missouri back in 1972, 13 of his shots would have been three-pointers. He would have had 63 points today. I mean, so it was an incredible, incredible day.
What do you remember about that game or his performance?
Well, I remember that Missouri tried everything. Good old Norm had about three guys who knocked him down a few times trying to keep him from scoring. And that day at halftime, they introduced the national championship team of 52, who was back for 20th anniversary. It was on nationally televised. And So late in the game, I knew Bud was having a good game. I didn't have any idea how many points that he had. I knew that he shot it every time that he touched it.
Every time.
But late in the game, with a minute or so to go in the game, I'd take him out to get a big crowd ovation. We had, you know, back then, 12-point lead with no three-point shots, a sizable lead. So I take Bud out so the crowd can give him a round of applause. And he's sitting down, and Dean Nesmith, our trainer, handed me a note from the SID and said, Bud has 50 points. He's within 2 points of tying Wilt Chamberlain's fieldhouse record. So I said, Bud, get back to the game. He goes back, as I said at our 60th Allen Fieldhouse, I sent him back for two reasons. One, to break Will's record, but the other reason, I thought it might tick Norm Stewart off. So Bud goes back in, he gets fouled, 1-1. Shoots, makes it, one of our players stepped across the line, negated the free throw and his opportunity to.
They had no business jumping in the lane.
Yeah.
Ain't missed a free throw in days. Ain't missed a free throw.
Why even get in the lane if I'm going to miss a free throw? But in retrospect, knowing Bud's modesty over the years and so forth, had he broken Wilt's record, he'd be impossible to
live. It's probably for the best.
Probably so. You got that right.
50 is a nice round number anyways. There's no need.
But I tell you, I was upset because that was one of my roommates that did it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
We're showing the courtesy of not mentioning his name.
That's right. That's right. Don't bring it out.
All right. His contributions have been noted. We talked to you a little while back. There was that fight, the Bryce Harper fight, a couple weeks ago in baseball. And David Lawrence alerted me to a fight that certainly dwarfs that one. I believe it was your first year on staff against Missouri. What was it, 1970? What year was that?
No, my first year on the staff was 1960. 61,
that's right.
Yeah, and so Coach Harp was doing the color commentary for KU football. And KU had a great football team. We go down to Missouri to play, and they have Missouri is number one in the nation, undefeated. And we beat them 23-7. And boy, they are hot. And so when we go back down to play, we were starting four black players. And they had all white, not a black player on the team. So at halftime, Bill Bridges, our great All-American forward, Bill said to Coach Harp, he said, Coach Harp, I've been called the N-word all my life. He said, I can handle that. But he said, they're spitting on me when we line up for free throws. And their players are. And he said, I'm not going to take that. So very late in the game, it was on national television, Jack Whitaker doing the game for NBC. Wayne Hightower, one of our forwards, and a great player, and Charlie Hinkie, their center, get into a shoving match. The whole stands emptied onto the court. Must have been 200. You can still bring it up on the internet.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
And they were punching us out. and finally, Bill Bridges cleaned about half of the court. They remember that on the end of the court was a little barbed wire or chicken wire
right.
fence over those steel poles.
Really?
One guy was climbing over, hitting Butch Ellison, and his brother Nolan,
Nolan came over and uppercut the guy, and he went, it looked like the cartoon you'd see. But
that was the good old days.
But having said that, there's nothing glamorous about a fight in sports. There's got to be a better way to deal with it. For instance, think about Harper. Harper's most important player to Washington. What if he goes out, punches, breaks? It's like Cantor did for Oklahoma City Thunder last year. Ruined the Thunder season because he comes over and hits a C, you know. So there has to be a better way to deal with it than that. But if you compare fights, that had to be one of the greatest.
I think you're right. He's Ted Owens joining us on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. Have you had a chance to look at your team yet?
Well, I just looked at one thing. Bud Stallworth, my great player, and Cal Thompson, who I brought here to play, I thought sure that Bud would want me on his coaching staff.
After everything he's done for you.
Hey.
You couldn't even let him on your assistant coach.
This is the way you all have been doing this for years. Yeah. Coach has always been on my team. I don't know what changed it. I don't know what changed it because he's always been on my team.
Well, you heard who he's replacing. David Lawrence, your former Rock Chalk Sports Talk co-host.
Yeah.
So from that aspect, Calvin swapped a former football player for – a living legend and former basketball coach Ted Owens.
Yeah,
so quite the upgrade for Calvin's squad.
Well, that's fine, you know, but, you know, I would let the coach have the right to make that decision. You know, Calvin ain't got the right to be doing it. Where is he at?
When Brian told me that Bud and Calvin were going to be the head coaches, I said, there won't be a lick of defense play.
I second that.
This game's going into the hundreds.
That's right. There's going to be a lot of shooting going on. How often do you make it back to Lawrence, Coach?
Well, not as often as I used to. You know, when you're 87, I'll be 88 next month. And so it causes you to slow down a little bit. But I like to get back for a couple of football games and three or four basketball games.
And playing golf. You play golf with us.
Oh, yeah.
Don't leave that out.
We don't miss the K Club weekend.
That's right.
Still hustling
Bud,
right?
Yeah. Still doing it.
Well, I couldn't play last year, and usually we contend for the championship, and they dropped off substantially.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was your fault. You know, I had to play when I was hurt. You're the one bailed on us.
Yeah, think about all the times when Bud sprained an ankle and said, get back in there.
Yeah, you know.
When Diener's our trainer, if you didn't see Blood, you played.
That's right.
We were talking in the last segment about, you know, Josh Jackson, Frank Mason getting ready for the league. We talked about Josh. Frank is undersized, is what they're going to say, and they're going to say he's old because he stuck around for 4 years. But how do you like his chances at the next level finding a home?
Josh?
Frank Mason.
Oh, Frank? Hey, I wouldn't count Frank out. I mean, that guy has a huge heart. I wouldn't say no to a guy like that. I mean, he'll find a way.
And it just does seem like you see more guys who are coming in as four-year seniors finding a lane in the league. You see more guys who are undersized who are finding a role. I think it's like almost cyclical, right? Because 20 years ago, being a college senior wasn't that big of a deal. And then it went through about a 10, 15-year span where they want to get them as young as they possibly can. Does it kind of feel like we're trending back in the other direction?
Well, yeah, I want to tell you, there's always a place for good ball handlers. And like Kansas City is an example. Oklahoma City right now. They still haven't found a backup for Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. And so he's playing 40-something minutes
playing
a game.
Playing more than that.
He's
wearing out.
I'll tell you, good point guards are hard to come by.
And with Jackson, he's going to be a top three pick?
I'll tell you, the last time I saw Jackson play was in Tulsa against Michigan State. Yeah. And I also was at the Kentucky game and a big time game and so forth. He can play. He's going to be outstanding. I'll tell you, I look at Ball and look at the guy from Washington. Sure, I'm not sure if I were picking, I wouldn't pick him ahead of him.
What about if you were recruiting Lonzo Ball and his father is sitting there telling you this and that, making statements in the media? How would that have went over?
Let me contrast something. Lonzo Ball with LeVar and LeVar, that package deal. Here's my package deal with Bud Stallworth. His dad was his high school principal, and he said, Coach, if he's not making his grades, he said, I want to report ever so often. If he's not making his grades, he can't play.
Did that really happen? That's a true story?
That's right.
Yeah, and I got the letters that he wrote my dad, too.
Bud didn't know it, but his dad and I communicated all the time. And
I didn't find that out until I went back there, about 4 years ago, and went in my baby book, and I opened it up, and I had all these letters from KU. I said, I wonder what this is about. I opened it up, he's writing my dad.
Well, you know, I think LeVar Ball is doing his son a great disservice. I feel for the young man. I mean, the dad is out of control as far as I'm concerned.
And what do you do if you're a kid? I hear so many people say he needs to tell his dad to back off. I go, I don't know what your family was like, but I didn't really have the option of telling my dad to stop talking. You know, what do you do?
When my dad was in his 80s, I didn't dare say anything.
I mean, because if you're recruiting a kid out, if you're an NBA team who's taking him, I think you've got to think
about it. I mean, you really do. You've got to look beyond just his dad. Plus the fact, with that loopy shot of his, I'm not just sure that he's going to – I don't necessarily think he's going to be as great as
his be hard. It's going to be hard on him because he thinks it's going to be easy.
You know, I look at Josh Jackson. I think with Lonzo Ball, I think he could be a good player. I think he will be a good player. But with Jackson, I look at him and I say, like, he's got a chance to be a star at the next level. I really think so.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so, too. And I'll tell you, you come here and play for Coach Self, you're going to be a better defender, too. You're going to – if you're going to play for Coach Self, you're going to have to play both ends of the court. Mm-hmm. And so so I think his experience here will prepare him well.
And with Jackson and Frank both getting ready for the draft, Landon Lucas as well, I know we got a new crop of guys coming in. Devontae Graham's going to try and fill that void that DeFrank left. Big shoes to fill, obviously, but
– you know what? Devontae Graham at the end of not this past year but the year before was the best player we had.
Yeah.
And I fully expect him to return to that. He sort of sacrificed himself a little bit for Frank last year, I thought. And I think this year when it's his team, you're going to see a terrific performance.
Kenny, I'm trying to think. Your senior year was 0-1, right?
Yes.
So starting backcourt for that team would have been, what, you, Jeff, and Kirk?
Yes, yep. That was the starting backcourt.
You, Jeff, and Kirk versus Frank, Devontae, and Josh. Who you taking?
I got to take myself.
Yeah, you have to. That's what I want to hear.
Take myself.
Absolutely.
You know, depends on where we're playing. Is it at Robinson with no refs? You know, I think we have a little advantage. We got two shooters, though, so that'll help.
That's right. You do.
It's kind of similar teams if you really think about it. Two shooters and an athletic guy, so – It'll be pretty interesting, but I have to go with myself.
We had Billy Thomas on the show yesterday, and I told him, I was kind of poking the bear. I told him, I said, your top three shooters, KU history. I don't know if you're number one. I'd have to think Jeff Boshi is the greatest three-point shooter, not only in KU history, but I imagine you probably don't run across many guys who can shoot it like him.
He definitely was one of the best three-point shooters. I know back in Bud's day, they didn't have three-point line, so it's hard to judge
it. Yeah, that's true.
With Jeff – I think there's been a lot of great shooters in KU history. Some guys have more of a leash than others, so they may have had more opportunities. So you never really know.
We got Ted Owens along with Bud Stallworth and Kenny Gregory. Only about 10 minutes left in the show, so we'll take a quick break, come back, wrap things up on the other side. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
Are you troubled or embarrassed by missing teeth? Dr. Moriarty at Enhanced Dental Care of Lawrence has a solution with dental implants. Replacement with dental